Anyways, I want to touch on Numbers, certainly a book of numbers. It's very calculating. That was a joke. Hopefully next time you'll bring your calculators. No, if you remember when we were maybe not even kids, but we used to do it at picnics, parties, family parties kind of thing, but the whole tug of war. You remember the tug of war? There's other games now that the kids play, but I just remember those. It was the strongest against the strong kind of thing. Yeah. You always wanted to beat them people. You know, you had the flag that was in the middle. Whoever got it on their side the most, that was the winners. That, you know, and what always happened was the important stance of that was to be able to put your weight, obviously, toward the back of the rope and also have a good anchor. To just have a good anchor man that no matter what happened, he wasn't going to budge. You know? He stuck to it, he hung on to that rope, and he might have been the guy after everybody dropped their hands off the rope. He was the guy that was dragged across the gully or the zone there last, you know, because he wasn't going to give up. And when I look at the book of Numbers, I see two things. See, I see the guy that stands strong, right? The guy that's not worried about his face. He's gonna grab a hold of that rope, and when it gets pulled real hard, he's going to give it all he has. He's going to be faithful to the cause. He's going to give it all he has, no matter what it means, right? It might mean that he just collects some dirt in his nostrils, right, when he's pulled face first into the ground. But he's going to hold on. Then there's the other guy on the other side that you don't want on your team. It's not that he isn't strong. It's that he isn't faithful enough. He's got a little bit of faith in his team, but not very much. And the last thing he wants to do is to be run across the yard on his face. There's not a cause big enough for him to do that and stand in there. So he ends up taking and letting go of the rope, and the whole team fails because of this one person, the weakest link, right? It's always the weakest link, right? If you're pulling out a car out of the ditch and you've got a chain hooked to their bumper, the thing that's going to break is going to be the weakest link, right? So in this, I think there's really two teams here that we see. We see the faithful team, the one that always holds true, the one that always says, you know, no matter what it looks like out there, I'm going to be faithful. And isn't it hard to be on that team? That's a hard team to be on. Because you know what? We're very observant people. And, you know, when we see something bad, we think it ain't God. God ain't in this. Right? When we see something good, guess what happens? Woohoo! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Right? We do it because it looks good to us. And that's, unfortunately, that's what happened a lot too. He looked over and he thought, wow, this is beautiful. That's where I'm going. Not a good place for him, right? And then on the other camp, you have the faithless, right? Did I say the faithful or the faithless first? What was it? Faithful. So you have the faithful, and then you have the faithless. It's not that they didn't have enough faith. They just didn't have enough to really be fully committed to the Lord. You know, where God said, I want you to go into the land. And he said, uh-uh. We see what's over there. We've experienced it. And they wouldn't go. And we see that. We see that in this book. So in Numbers chapter 13, God would set, and we're not going to spend time there, but you know it, God would send His spies into the land. Why did He send His spies into the land, do you think? I think He sent them in there to see who. He already knew. But for their own selves, who's the faithless ones and who is the faithful ones? Because God already knew what was in the land, didn't He? He knew it ahead of time. But in that chapter, verse 30, it says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession.'" He was excited. Mind you, they saw the same things. Right? It's like taking this water bottle and say it was half full. And some of us might say it's half empty, right? It's seeing the same thing, but having two different answers for the question. Right? Are you ready to go into the land? Some held back, and some didn't. "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Why did Caleb think that? Because he knew who was on his side. He knew the Lord was sending them in there. That's what made him able to overcome. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Why wouldn't they, or why couldn't they? What disabled them? What disabled them was their faith. Or maybe the lack of. Right? They had faith enough to go spy the land out. They just didn't have faith enough to go into the land and take it over. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." They're tall. "There we saw giants of the descendants of Achan." "We are like grasshoppers." Like grasshoppers. Just small. We're just insignificant. You know what? The more insignificant we are, the more faithful we need to be. Because we know just how insignificant we are. And so when I look at this, I see Caleb and I see Joshua as the ones out of all these that went into the land to spy it out. They were the ones that came back and said, "We're ready, Lord. We're ready to go into the land." They saw their insignificance. They saw that they weren't able, but they were able. Right? Within themselves, they weren't able. They weren't Cain either. That was a joke. I got to explain my jokes to you. You know, you're tired, right? Or they're just bad all the time and you get used to them. But they knew that God was on their side, you know. So when I think of this, you know what I think of? I think of us. I think of us. Are we faithful enough to step out into the city? Are we faithful enough to do what God has called us to do? Or are we willing to say, you know what, this economy doesn't work for us. We can't do it. Nothing adds up. There's too many against us. So I think in numbers, when we look at this book, we see it opens up with numbering the fighting men. It's going to be numbering the fighting men in the camp. But the question is not, it's not if they could be numbered, right? If they could be numbered. But what it was really about is, can they be counted on? Right? Can we be counted on? Or are we just part of the number of faithless? And so I think this book challenges us. It challenges us in a way that I think we need to be challenged. Because sometimes I hear people say we're small. And I don't think they think it's on a good note. But small's good. Because then we know we can't do it. And that God has to do it. Right? We know it then. So as we go through this, again, I think the main message is, can God count on us? Can He count on us? You know, we just watched with the girls watched that movie Courageous. You know, and at the very end of the movie, right, he stands up and he says, "Men of honor, right? Who will stand?" Right? Or something like that. And he was asking them, are you able to be counted on for your families? And God is saying, are you able to be counted on by me? You know? So much lip service out there. So many people can get excited by loud music and good hard preaching, and boy, they can go out of here with a lot of energy and enthusiasm. They get down the road and everything God had shown them, they put away. They might even write it in a book, but they put it on the shelf and they never turn to it again. And God says, can I count on you when I tell you to do something? When I tell you to go into the land, can I count on you? It's a great book. Great book of numbers. But it isn't about the numbers. It's about being counted on. Can we be counted on? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful love for us. We know for sure that we can count on you, Lord. Can you count on us? Is the question. We pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts, Lord. That we'd have open ears for you, Lord. Open hearts. That we'd desire your presence, Lord. That we'd desire your calling, Lord. As James would say, Lord, let us be doers of your word. Let our yes be yes and our no be no, Lord. When we say yes, Lord, let us take action with that. So we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you for all the Kleenexes that you gave me tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word most of all. And we do praise you and thank you and ask you for a good rest of the evening, Lord. Maybe you would even give us a word from you, Lord, and lift us up, Lord. If our heads are low, Lord, lift us up. Like we sang tonight, Lord, what would we do without you? What would we do without you, Lord? But we know with you that we can go into Canaan, Lord. We can face the giants and We can go against those that are in opposition to you because we have you, Lord. So we praise you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.